traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida. We're going to have a good show today. Got a lot of things going on in the horse industry it's so exciting now because everything's back up, open. The COVID protocols have worked for the horse industry, and we're so excited about it. All the racing, all the horse shows, polo, the sales is 100% open to all the people that are involved in the business. And so we're great to see everything taking a big turn, you know, for us. But one of the things I want to jump into here real quick is the Ohio Derby's coming up here from Thistle Downs on 8/26. It's a three-year-old race. It's a lot of the Derby horses are going to be in it. And so we were kind of excited about that. The different routes that they've taken over the year, you know, to try to make as much money as they could for the horse and recover from the COVID, and they're doing that. But the Ohio Derby is grade three. It's going to be on the 26th of this month, this Saturday, from Thistle Downs in Ohio. And the favorite for the race right now is Promise Keeper. Todd Pletcher's horse. He was first in the Peter Pan in his last out. And so, you know, that put him right up to the top and everything. So he's a nice horse by constitution. We're thinking he might be the one. But I tell you, guys, there's Hot Rod Charlie. You know, Hot Rod Charlie's back, and he's ready to roll. He was fourth in the Federico Tessio Stakes at Laurel. We don't know what happened. He might have had a bad race, but I'm telling you, this horse is a horse to really look at. He's going to be tough. Hello Hot Rod is the name of this horse, and he's going to be a tough horse to look at, you know, when we're coming down through here. But there are a lot of good horses in there. We got Keep Me in Mind. He was fourth in the Preakness Stakes. He's looking good. We got another horse that I liked, and I like the Lexington Stakes as a good race. It's Proxy. Joe Bravo's in the saddle. He's at 5-1. So Derby is going to look pretty good this week, this Saturday coming up. But back to the Derby. This is a race that I always take a look at, and I key it as an important factor for the Derby in 2022. It's the Churchill Downs. It's on Saturday. It's called the Bashford Manor Stakes. It's a grade three. It's $150,000 added for two-year-olds. They're going six furlongs. What I like about this is it's a good race. It gives the trainers and the horses kind of an idea of what it's going to be like on Derby Day at Churchill. You're going to have a big crowd there. You know, you've got quality horses that are there. And this is literally one of the first steps to get on the road to the Kentucky Derby on how they get there. I really do like this race. A lot of good horses in it. Steve Asmussen's always coming up with a good one. He's got a Vodka and Water, nice two-year-old colt with Ortiz and the irons. So, you know, maybe this is Steve's year to get to the Kentucky Derby with a winner. We got a lot of great horses in this race. Todd Pletcher's got a horse called Double Thunder. Velasquez is in the irons for him. This horse has been training very well, very well. He's got a lot of good weight on him for a two-year-old. I like the way he looks, like the way he's training. We're just going to see how good he is come Saturday. But it's, again, and it's all on how they get there. And this is one of the races that they get them ready for. And the important thing is that they run, they've got a race over Churchill Downs. They've got a race in Stakes Company, and they've got a race in front of a large crowd. And that's really becomes a factor when you get to the first Saturday in May in 2022. We have another one in for Steve Asmussen is Red Run. He's a nice horse, but I think he's going to be a late developer. So we'll probably see him somewhere down the line in Hot Springs, Arkansas at Oaklawn, sometimes over the spring coming up. But that's the Grade 3 Bashford Manor. Post time is 4:55 Eastern time at Churchill Downs on Saturday. So I'm getting all excited here about all the things that we've got going with us. We're trying to get people to call in to IEN and give us a holler of what they're doing, where they're at, where they're going. Like I said, we have free spots on our website that you can post and tell us all about your program that you're going through. So we're kind of excited about that. We got a lot of new people that have contacted us that we're going to be talking to here over the next few weeks about who they are, where they're at, and what they're doing. But like I said, just contact us at IENTV.org or call us at 561-466-1272. That's what we would like to have you do. Call us and let us know where you're at, who you are, and what you're doing, and where you're going, and everything. So doing that and getting into the back into the full swing of things. We have Saratoga is getting ready to open up here. It's going to be exciting to see this summer what they have. They got a lot of great races that are coming, up. In fact, Saratoga has increased their purses this year for the summer meet, and everybody's excited about that. The meet begins on July 15th, and the New York Racing Association has all open stake races at Saratoga previously carried in purses of $100,000 will be increased 20,000 to 120,000. A maiden special weight race at Saratoga will get a 10,000 boost, and they're increasing them from 90,000 to 100,000. And that's awful nice to take a maiden into Saratoga, and break your maiden for $100,000. It's exciting. It's just unbelievable the amount of purse money that they're increased it by for Saratoga. Saratoga is always a good meet. You get a lot of people. It's 100% capacity, so you need to go to Saratoga .com and see what all they have there for the summer. I'm excited about it. Highlighted at the Saratoga meet will be the Run Happy Traverse Stakes. It's a Grade 1 on August 28th, and it's $1,250,000 in this race, which is going to be a great one to build up to. They have the $1 million Whitney Stakes on August the 7th. Saratoga will feature 76 stakes races worth $21.5 million. It's just so exciting, to go there and be a part of it and see what all is going on. The track's first stakes are a pair of sprints, July 15th, the $120,000 quick call stakes. It's a Grade 3 for three-year-olds, 5.5 furlongs on the grass. And the $150,000 Schuylerville stakes for two-year-old fillies at 6 furlongs. And so now, we're starting to get into the two-year-old races that appoint them to all the big stake races next spring, leading up to the Breeders' Cup this year. And so we're excited about all the things that are just absolutely going on, here in the horse and thoroughbred industry in particular, which is exciting. We've got so many races that are coming up every Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. you know, at Saratoga is going to be exciting. Every day is a stakes day, so we hope you get out and enjoy it, or you go to twinspires.com and watch them on twinspires.com, and you can wager there with them too also, which is good. And then we got coming up here pretty quick, and we're going to carry this live on intv.org, is Tuesday, July 13th in Lexington. We have the July sale for selected yearlings. And this catalog is just loaded with some of the best bred thoroughbreds that you'll ever see, especially in the last two or three years. A lot of these yearlings will be picked up by pen hookers, and you'll see these horses in two-year-old trading sales in Ocala and Del Mar and places like that. So we're excited about that sale coming up. You'll have a live stream of it. They've got, let's see here, they've got 348 horses in this book, and they are very well bred. You would be surprised when you take a look at this book and see. In fact, it'll make you want to go to the sales there in Keeneland on July the 13th. So that's another thing to look forward to, that what we have going on here in the industry. We also got the Olympics coming up here in July. You'll have to come to our website, and you'll be able to see some of the pre-Olympic shows that they had to go through from all over the country and all over the world. It's kind of an exciting thing to see. It should be good this year. It should be really good this year. The Japanese have done an excellent job on preparing the stadium and the protocol for the racing. It'll be live on NBC. You'll be able to get a link from IEN on how they get there. You'll be able to see a lot of the preliminary shows with us. It's going to be exciting for that. Okay. Everything we're doing here is okay. We're doing everything good. And now I'd like to welcome a gentleman that I met here recently over the last year. His name's Gary Patterson. He's from Dresden Raceway in Ontario, Canada. Gary, welcome to the show.
Scott, thank you very much. And I'm going to tell you, you're playing fast and loose with that word, gentlemen.
I don't know, Gary. You guys are good people up there. What's going on up there at Dresden? There's a lot of good things. I see every time I look on the YouTube and go to watch your racing, it's new and improved. What have you got going on up there?
You know, we've got a ton of things. We are a little track. We are a little half-mile track with a big history. We've been racing here for literally 100 years, and we were dubbed in the 1960s. There was a sports writer at a daily newspaper in London, Ontario, and he would come here on Sundays. So we used to race 4 days a week at the time. He would come here on Sundays, and he just loved this little track, loved the ambiance, loved the track, and so he dubbed it Ontario's Little Saratoga. And we don't, you know, just because of the atmosphere and you know, the great grandstand that we have, an old style grandstand, and people come on in and they just enjoy a day of racing. It's really relaxed. And, but we've got some, you know, even though it's relaxed and everything, we still have, we've had some of the best horsemen go through here. Some of the best horses have come from Dresden, come out of here. We've just, you know what? Again, our history is just huge, and we are starting to grow again. We had a little lull there for a while, but now we're starting to grow again.
Yeah. You know, the thing I was looking here is back in the 80s, the track was pretty vibrant, racing four nights a week and handles that would hit between $80,000 and $100,000 on average and everything. Do you think you'll get back to that level?
You know, I would really love to. You know, we've got some great promotions coming up. So being in Ontario, Canada, we're just coming out of lockdown. So it's been pretty brutal. So they've just announced this afternoon the stage two of our reopening plan, they call it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that sounds like I'm mocking our provincial government. Our MPP, our member of provincial parliament here in our area, is amazing. His name is Monty McNaughton, another guy named Rick Nichols. They have worked tirelessly to try and get us open, get us to where we're at. But it just seems the province has stumbled, and I think that comes from the federal level. Our federal government has stumbled in the reopening plan, and I know that in different states across the United States, y'all just open it up and have had zero, there have been no negative implications from that. And unfortunately, our prime minister did not learn from that. He did not pay attention to that. And he's trying to keep us from keeping everything locked down. But to step away from the political stuff, I'm going to go to, do I think we can come back to 80 to 100,000 live on track handle? You know what? We might with some good promotions. Now we've got some good things coming up here. So we're going into stage two on Canada Day, which is July 1st. So we're going to have actually for the first time in, since 2019, we are going to be able to have fans come into the grandstand. And we've done a lot of work in the grandstand. We've spruced it up, a lot of painting, a bunch of new doors and things to get it going. So I think that we can. On July 1st, we're also going to be introducing a different wagering platform. So right now, because we're such a small track and everything runs through Woodbine here, which is the top track, and all the wagering in Ontario, the province, runs through Woodbine. And so we've had just Exactor, Triactor. Our gimmicks have been our exotics, you call them, Exactor, Triactor, and Daily Double. But starting in July 1st, we'll be having a Win 4, and there'll be a carryover on that. And then we're also going to be having Superfectives. So that's going to be something new to this track, and I think that will enhance our wagering platform a great deal.
Now, in order to bet, Dresden, can you go through like TwinSpires.com, or who do you actually go through as your off-track betting?
So our off-track betting, so how we run it is we go through HPI Bet, which is the Canadian version, right? It's of off-track betting, but they give our product as well. They have put our product out to TwinSpires and TVG as well. So the unfortunate thing is they don't show, they have to select the tracks that they show, right? So they'll show whichever track, and obviously, the bigger tracks in the United States, they get the bigger volume. So you can watch us on, go to our website, which is www.dresdenraceway.ca. It's not .com, it's .ca. And we have a link there. Our YouTube channel is going, our Dresden Raceway YouTube channel, and so you can watch the races there, but you can still bet on HPI Bet. You can bet on TwinSpires and TVG using those platforms as well.
Right. It sounds like you got it really going there. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was you have some quite a bit of history there to track. What do you have coming up in the future? On special Saturdays or things like that about trainers and owners and drivers maybe and horses. Do you have anything like that coming up that'll be special for the fans to come out and see?
Oh, yeah. As Keith Jackson would say, baby, we've got some good ones. So coming up next week, actually, July 4th, Independence Day, we have our the final. It's a $15,000 900 final purse. It's called the Mark Austin Pacing Series. Now, Mark was a trainer here. He started here at Dresden Raceway back in the 80s. And a real good guy. He climbed up to one of the top trainers in Canada and had some great horses, some sire stake horses, and just was one of the best and just a great guy. I knew Mark. He helped us out with our horses that we owned at back in time. Just a real class guy. He died in 2014. Suddenly, he died at the racetrack. So not here at Dresden, but he was at Clinton Raceway. He backed his truck up, and so they're waiting for his horses to And nobody could, you know, where they at, where the horses. And so they went to his truck, and he had passed away of a heart attack just after he got his truck backed up and just was ready to unload horses. So,
oh, no, that's sad. But at least he died where he loved.
You know what? Exactly right. But Mark was a great guy. So I don't know if you ever heard of a nice little trotter named A Worthy Lad. And Mark broke A Worthy Lad. Now, A Worthy Lad tied Cam Fella's record for most consecutive wins. And he actually tied it right here at Dresden Raceway in a sire stake race back in the day. Went undefeated on North American soil, didn't get defeated, was purchased in Sweden. A Worthy Lad went across there. But Mark broke A Worthy Lad. And you know what? Again, some of the history in the fabric of Dresden Raceway. So we've got that. We've got the final coming up on July the 4th. And so that's going to be a great day here at Dresden Raceway. We have a couple of other things going on. So we have Memorial Day. And what we do is Memorial Day is we honor the people who have come before us, right? And so that will be right. On, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself there, Scott, sorry. on that's the 4th, on July the 18th, we have the Ontario Women's Drivers Championship. So we have eight women who are going to drive five races at Hanover Raceway on Saturday and come here for the final on Sunday, and they're going to drive five races here on the final on Sunday, which is going to be a great day. We've got some talented young female horse drivers who are inspirational to the we have so many women in our sport, but for so many years it has been male-driven drivers, right? There's been a few really decent drivers. Now, we did invite Hannah Miller to come up and participate, but unfortunately, because of COVID restrictions and stuff like that, she could not come up. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping that Hannah comes up next year to compete. Mm-hmm. But we've got, like, Natasha Day, Mary-Claude Ogier, Brittany Kennedy, Andrea Leon, Julie Walker, Pam Forgey. These are just to name a few of the drivers that we've got. We're going to have eight drivers here that day, and it is going to be a great day. That's July the 18th. The next week on July 25th, that is when we do our, it's going to be, again, it's Memorial Day. So anybody who's been involved in harness racing, they know the names like Shelley Goodrow. Shelley Goodrow started here. Shelley and his dad, Fred, they started here. So we're going to have the Goodrow that day, that we'll have the memorial race for the Goodrow. Jiggs McFadden, who was Canada's top driver back in the 60s. And so we're going to have a memorial race for Jiggs. Just Kenny Houston, who, not a driver, not a horseman, he owned horses, but a former NHL hockey player. And the doctor, good buddy of mine, he passed away a few years ago. And you know what, doctor, he would come to the races every Sunday. And he and his dad, Lyle, would come, and they would enjoy a day of the races. He owned horses all over. So he played in Atlanta, Calgary, Washington, and Los Angeles. And he would go to the different tracks, and he often would tell stories about getting done, having a couple days off in Calgary and flying to the Meadowlands to watch one of his horses race stuff like that. So that's Memorial Day. But the big day that I think you're alluding to, that we talked a little bit about, this is something that's going to be huge. In Ontario for harness racing, we have very few African Canadians represented in our sport. Uh-huh. And I got to thinking, I could never understand that, because growing up at Dresden Raceway, we always had a ton. You know, there's always African Canadians. It was just there's no different than having Caucasians or whatever. So I got to think about that, and I did some research. So myself and my girlfriend Barb Lovell, we did a bunch of research, and so we come to find out that where our track is located, of course, a lot of Americans will be familiar with the book Uncle Tom's Cabin, and that is based on the life of a guy named Josiah Henson, and he was an abolitionist, and he started the Underground Railroad. So he saved many slaves and got them through the Underground Railroad. They came to Canada where they could start their life fresh back in the 1800s. Well, our racetrack is located on the very back corner of his original 100-acre farm called the Don Settlement. And so we started doing some research into that. And in his will, he willed his, and I'll quote you on this, I'll quote this, his prize Hambletonian stallion John to his grandson Peter. So obviously we all know Hambletonian is the father of modern horse racing in in North America. And so that's how far back our roots go, is back to that. So on the first, August 1st, which is a Sunday, it's Emancipation Weekend. So Emancipation Day is on the Saturday. And so Uncle Tom's Cabin here, they have, it's just, it's an amazing place, historical site. And so we've partnered up with Uncle Tom's Cabin and a gentleman by the name of Stephen Cook, who runs it. And they have Emancipation Day on the Saturday, and Sunday we're having African-Canadian Heritage Day here at Dresden Raceway, where we've had so many African-Canadian drivers. We've got guys like, so back in the day, you had Lonnie McCorkle and Hugh McCorkle. They were brothers. Lonnie drove and trained, and Hugh was an owner, and Hugh trained a couple too. Well, then it dribbled down to the next generation of Brian McCorkle, who was a driver trainer and Hugh's boy, and Terry McCorkle, who was a trainer, and he was Lonnie's boy. And so they, the sons continued on the tradition. We have the List family, Fred List, Junior List. They were heavy into harness racing. We have Lyle Greenwich. Lyle still drives. And so he drives too. I forgot to mention Kevin McCorkle, who is Brian McCorkle's brother. Now, Kevin McCorkle was a caretaker for Bob McIntosh, but he trained as well. But he was a caretaker for Bob McIntosh. So he took care of some of the finest horses that we had in North America, right? Traveled all across, you know, New Jersey and all across the states with Bob's horses. So these guys have been, you know, historically, they are the lifeblood of Dresden Raceway. But the biggest one is a guy named Dwayne Guest. Now, Dwayne Guest was a driver. And he started here working for Dean Stevens and Ron Stevens, and then Trefoil Farms here in Dresden. And he started driving. He started driving a little bit in Windsor. But he made most of his success in Singapore, where Dwayne marched on to Singapore and was the top driver for many years in the country of Singapore. And so he was he was the guy. And I can vividly remember in high school, his nephew, a fellow by the name of Trev Thompson, who works for Bally Sports, Trevor brought pictures of Dwayne arm in arm with Morgan Fairchild and, you know, people like that. You know, it's like, I'm thinking, whoa, that's pretty heavy stuff there. But so Dwayne Guest will be honored that day as well. So we just want to honor the Black heritage in our community and what they have done for Dresden Raceway. And to me, it's a significant contribution to the sport, because these guys have, you know, they've manufactured some great things. I can remember Freddie List had a horse named Irish Texan, and this trotter won 13 in a row here at Dresden when I was a kid coming here to the track, and they couldn't beat him. He would go to the front, and if they didn't let him have the front, he would just stay parked on the outside and win like that. But some great horsemanship and some great talent that these guys had back in the 80s and 90s here at Dresden and before that as well. So it's going to be a great day here. We got a lot going on.
I think it's a great thing that you're doing that, and it looks like the Dresden has got the foundation laid for a great success, you know, here in the future. I was going back to a horse called A Worthy Lad, tied Cam Fallow's record of 28 straight victories at Dresden. And so, you know, there's the history's there. And, you know, it seems like that you're on your way up, you know, in the business and everything. And now how will we be able to watch, racing, just on YouTube, or, how can we watch racing from Dresden?
Yeah, so our YouTube channel, check out our YouTube channel. You can go to our website, and they've got a link to it there. It's www.dresdenraceway.ca, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to watch the races there on streaming. There's a streaming link, and you can watch them. And you know what, Scott? I think that when people come to this track, they just fall in love with it because it's so, I'll call it quaint, but everybody's friendly, but it's all professional, too. So we had Kevin Wallace. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Kevin Wallace.
Yes.
I'm sure you are.
Uh-huh.
He's the only Canadian horseman to have over 10,000 driving wins and 1,000 training wins. And there's only two in North America. I think Zeke Parker's the other guy. And so they have, but the key is that Kevin drove here. He was here all the time, and he spent his Sunday afternoons and Saturday nights here. A guy by the name of Alan Cullen. Now, Al was, he had some injuries in his back, cut his career a little bit short. But boy, what a great driver Al was. He could keep a horse alive, just like Kevin. They could keep him alive. A fellow by the name of Gordon Norris, who was a big trainer throughout the United States, he told me one time, he looked at Kevin and said, "See that boy there? He makes a horse a second faster just walking alongside of it." And and so Kevin and Alan, Al Cullen, they were here, and Al won the Canadian Drivers' Championship long and away. And a brand-new truck and trailer, and worth at the time over $80,000. And so these are the guys that we've always had great drivers, great trainers, great horse people here in Dresden, at Dresden Raceway. So I know, right. I talk a lot. I'm very proud of our little track. So you talked about that Eworthy Lad Raceway, Ty Campfella's record.
Yeah.
That was my first or second year announcing races. I got to announce that race. And I was just tickled pink. And so I've been announcing here for 30 years. And but doing everything here, whatever I can do. I'll clean the floors, I'll clean the toilets, keep this meeting going.
What I like about Dresden is it's got that family atmosphere. You know, it doesn't have your typical racetrack atmosphere. It's got a family atmosphere. And, you know, from what I've seen and the people that I've talked to, you know, it looks like you're on a fantastic journey, you know, to success there. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is about the Bill C-218 that they're introducing in Canada. Will that help you in your wagering and your racing there?
Well, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. So what it will allow, so all of our wagering is done through Woodbine Raceway. And so what it'll do, this will allow boutique betting parlors to start betting on races, but the money won't come back to the racing industry, correct? So what happens is you bet $1,000 out of one of those boutiques. They get the money, they keep it all, and there's no money coming back into Dresden Raceway. Whereas when you bet with HPI, it comes back into the flow of Ontario racing, and it comes back into the flow of our sire stakes the horse people in general. So that being said, that is the negative of it. The positive of it is that all these little racetracks, like we're working on it right now, that we're going to be setting up a betting parlor ourselves and allow sports betting here. So we can have, you know what, we'll be able to have, you can bet on single sport betting. So you can bet on a hockey game. You can bet on, and of course, we're big hockey, football. We're so close to Detroit. We're only like 50 miles from Detroit, right? So we're so close to the U.S. border that we're very Americanized here, which is awesome. And so, you know, NFL Sunday, we'll have that place packed on Sunday as people bet football. You know, we'll have a lot of Tigers fans here and baseball, hockey, and everything we bet here at. So we're going to set up a boutique here at the racetrack, which I think others can do it as well, other tracks in other cities. So let's say in Windsor, Leamington Raceway is close to Windsor. Leamington will be able to set up a betting parlor or a boutique in Windsor and draw fans in like that, which will increase revenues, not so much on the side of the going through the horse racing, but will increase revenues for the track. So it's kind of a double-edged sword where we lose a little bit, but we're also going to gain some too.
Right. Well, one of the things I'd like to ask you is if you would allow us to put your YouTube link on our website. I know we don't have, you know, a lot of viewers or listeners as of now, but my goal in what I'm trying to do is to bring quick links to all the horse industry. And like, for example, for you, you know, we would like to put a quick link on there so that if they want to watch racing or, you know, get any information, they can come there, or they can go directly to your website, you know, that type of thing. But my whole deal is we have to have exposure and information of our industry. And like with your Dresden Raceway there, you know, with the African-Canadian history, you know, with the great horses and trainers that have been there, you know, we need to start educating and making that information available through as many outlets as we possibly can. And the thing I like about what I'm doing is it's all free, not only to you, but to, you know, our potential viewers and listeners that we have. We need to get that exposure out there. And I think that what you're doing there, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to look back and you know, we're going to see those big race days like you have. And, you know, you're doing a great job there with it. And, you know, we just want to let people know what they can do when they come to Dresden. You know, how's the food there at Dresden? That's the main thing. That I
the food?
Yeah.
And that's one of our big days that we had planned, but because of COVID, we couldn't have it. So we have you know, your usual fair food, like your hot dogs and burgers and fries, mm-hmm. and our fries are second to none. A guy by the name of Jimmy Periscopoulos runs the kitchen here. He makes mm-hmm. it's awesome. And so Jimmy runs it great, and so the food's awesome. We've got you can get poutine and all that good stuff too, but we have a food mm-hmm. truck day that we allow food trucks to come in, and they just you know, we've got the one guy's got his fatty patties, and oh my goodness, it's the best burger you've ever tasted. Another girl, Donut Diva, her donuts are just, my gosh, like, I'm going to lose my girlish figure if I keep eating those things. But they you know what, they all come in, and the food is great. The beer is always cold here, too. We make sure of that, and which is going to be funny because on the 25th, which is the big day that you come out, the folks are going to be coming out on the 25th for the Memorial Day. We're doing beer, burger, and a bet. So you come in, you give us $10, and for that $10, you get a $2 bet. You get a tall boy beer and a burger, all for $10. So,
shoot, I might have to make my way up north and visit you on that day.
Well,
that sounds good to me.
Well, you know what? Come in and you can make your $10 back real quick with a good winner. And
oh yeah,
but. It's other than that, and it's local beer. It's a local brewery brews the beer, and they brew the tall cans. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Jimmy's burgers are just, like I said, awesome. So it's, you can't lose. And the best part is you come in and you get to sit and spend the whole day watching some great racing and, hanging out with friends. And so we have a culture here at Dresden, on the grandstand side, there's lots of people coming, a lot of families and whatnot. But on the backstretch, we have it's half the backstretch is open to the public, and then you have to cross through the stable gate to go to the stables. So on uh-huh. that half that's open to the public, it's pretty crazy that guys start showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock for 1 o'clock post time. They back up their pickups uh-huh. and. They get out their tents or their umbrellas and stuff, and they want to sit back there and watch the races from the backstretch. We have
tailgating,
a radio
signal. That's good.
Yes, sir. And we have a radio signal, so they don't have to worry about not being able to hear the great announcer here at Dresden, and they can turn on the radio.
Yeah,
it's good. So we're trying to get all the angles covered to make sure everybody's happy.
Yeah. Now, what have you got coming up this weekend? What's the big race this weekend? What all's going on? And what's post time? And how can we get people out there to see you?
So right now we're still closed for the public, but you can just tune us in and go to your. We really appreciate you putting us on your site, the link on your site. And you said that uh-huh. you don't have a lot of folks listening right now and paying attention. But let's grow together. We'll put your link on our website. And so what we got going on this week, we've got the second leg of the Mark Austin Pacing Series. And so it's non-winners of $5,000, one race or $5,000 before March 31st. And so there's a filly named I'm a Comedian. And she won the first leg. Now, she raced her first two races in Hoosier Park in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And then she raced Woodbine. But she came out here and jiggy jogged in 58-1 on a half-mile track. Now, we don't have the great uh-huh. times that that they do in Northfield or these places. So 58-1's not right. a bad mile. Last year, the winner, a course called Dreaming Out Loud, won it in 57-4. But this filly, this I'm a Comedian, I'm going to bet she could pace over the half-mile track, this half-mile track, in 55 and a piece. And
yeah.
She's nice in that. We've got another one called Shadow Warrior. He's a shadow play gelding. And you know what? So the filly, by the way, is he's watching filly. And the shadow play gelding, he paced in 58 and a piece, too. And he could give her a run for her money. So these are the two that I'm really liking for our Markoffs and Eliminations. And then our final is, like I said, on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm excited about joining up with you guys and everything. And I said, you know, all us little guys can get together and make something big. And I've been in this business a long time, and I just see a lot of potential there at your track. You know, with the horses and the trainers and the history and what you're doing there. It's amazing all the things that are getting done, you know, just by you, you know, and I just see it getting bigger and better. And, you know, we're glad to be a part of it and help any way, shape, or form that we can and everything. So, you know, having you on.
We go postward at 1 o'clock. Our programs okay. are on our website too. They're going to be, they usually get on, they're printed off Friday morning. So I'll have them on the website mm-hmm. by Friday afternoon. And you can do some great handicapping. And if you don't have time, I'm usually, last year I was 74% winners at the track as the handicapper here. So I don't steer people wrong. And I usually give people, last week I had my long shot of the week, cruise to victory and paid $24. So
wow.
I'm usually pretty sharp on what I pick. So if you don't want to do a handicap yourself, listen to what I got to say. And sometimes you'll make some money off that.
So in other words, before we spend that $10, when we spend that $10, we need to hook up with you before we bet on that $2 ticket.
Yes, sir. Well, you know what? I get to watch every race, right? I get to see every little thing. And so if a horse looked like he was he got locked in, or he looked like he had more luck on the wire, I can see that stuff. And sometimes that goes missed by, you can't read that in a program. I'll tell you a little story.
Right.
So my mother, God bless her soul, she's 86 years old. She loves the horse races. She can't come because of COVID. Everybody's still out. But what happens is, so she has my niece set up an account. And last week, my dear old mother, on my advice to some of the horses I picked, she made all her bets on Saturday. We raced on the Sunday, and she came out $140 ahead. So she's pretty tickled about that.
Doggone it. That's good there. And you know? Well, I'm telling you, Gary, it's been nice talking with you, and I look to a good future with you. We want to help you in any way, shape, or form that we can. And good luck to you, and keep doing the good work that you're doing. You know, I see nothing but success down the road for Dresden and for you and everything. So maybe we can get you back on, you know, in a couple of weeks and kind of get an update to how the racing's going and what you got coming up.
You know, Scott, that would be wonderful. I really appreciate all you do for the sport of horse racing. You know, mm-hmm. people just don't realize how important it is to have guys like you around. And so God bless you, and thanks a lot for everything you're doing for the sport.
Okay, I appreciate it, Gary, and I look forward to working with you. And who knows, someday we'll be on every race day live. We won't have to worry about all these other people. We'll get everything going. And,
let's make that
so
happen.
Gary, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, and God bless everybody up there, and make it go.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Gary Patterson from Dresden Raceway in Ontario, Canada. And these are the kind of people that we're trying to get involved with the International Equine Network. He's doing a great job up there, and, you know, it's something to, you know, go and see. And we're hoping to be, you know, a segue to getting into things like that. And we're doing the same with the show horse people. We're doing the same with the sales, international. We're doing the same thing. We'd like to get businesses in, you know, to what we're doing here, and let them, let all of our viewers and listeners know, you know, what we're got going on. We have a guy here I've known for a few years. His name's Marty Cooper, and he's like the foundation of the horse business and standard bred business. He has a small stable. He's worked in the big stables. He's done everything he could do in the business and everything. And it's quite a struggle, but he never gave up and he never quit. And so Marty, welcome to the show. We want to know who you are, where you're at, what you're doing, and how you got into the business.
Well, right now I'm sitting on my back porch enjoying a nice day in Michigan. It's kind of semi-retired at the moment, but still fully in the horse business.
Yeah.
You know, I just love it. And, well, we've done it from a real young age. Jogged my first horse when I was 12 years old. My dad had race horses. And I just fell in love with them. And I was mainly grew up in a little town called South Lyon, Michigan, which was like the horse capital back in them days. And then the racing kind of went to kaput in Michigan. So I had to do a lot of venturing to race a lot of my better horses. And you just had to take your horses where they needed to race, you know, which is kind of tough. There's a lot of traveling time. So,
yeah. Well, Marty, with a small stable, how did you, were you at a training center? Did you prefer to be at the track? You know, that's got to be awful tough on you with, you know, with a small stable trying to get around to the track to make money.
Yeah, I mainly like to, you know, train out of a racing, a farm. And it's just more laid back and quieter for the horses. I have stabled at the track a few times, but it just seems like there's always something going on. I don't see how the horses can really relax. So I like to be laid back at a farm. And I was going to numerous tracks all the time, constantly on the road. And I'd be driving my own horses, most of them, all the time. It got to wear and tear on you after many years of doing it. And I kind of laid back a little bit and cut down in sizes and kind of quit driving, but still trained, you know, a few on the side. But I had some decent horses back in the day that did pretty well for me.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. Being a small stable like that, did that give you the opportunity to be active in the breeding and selling and of horses? You know, did you breed your own, or, you know, did you go to the sales? How did you get all your horses?
Well, I would purchase most of them at the sales. But there was a bunch my dad used to breed, a lot of his mares, and a few turned out to be pretty good. One had real one exceptional one. And the funny story, he wanted to sell the little peanut, but I wouldn't let him because she was so good looking, but just small. She could fly. But, mainly I just bought all my horses, and then I'd travel out to New Jersey and stuff and go to some of the sales, the big sales, Lexington and stuff. And you just had to pick through them and see what you could afford. You couldn't really, can't go against some of them high pricings for some, like some people do, you know.
Right. Now, did you ever get into the claiming game?
Oh, yeah. Some people liked it, some people didn't. My grooms would always hate me for throwing one in a claimer and then lose it. You know, somebody would take it. That's just part of the game. You got to put them where they belong so you can make money, you know. You're not going to make money finishing fifth every week and getting your brains tore out. You got to put them where they belong, and hopefully if you win, you kind of hope to hang on to them at least another week, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let me ask you, did you have a track that you preferred to race at? Was there any one in particular, like Hoosier or, you know, the Meadowlands, or, you know, did you have a favorite track?
I really liked Hoosier Park in Indiana, and then I really liked Windsor Raceway right there in Ontario, Canada. And and being able to go up to Woodbine and Mohawk a lot there too is really nice, and they really put on a good show, and they treat you nice. Every seemed like everywhere else I went, outside of Michigan, the people get nicer, especially when you get all the way down to Kentucky.
That could possibly be true. You know, what do you think about the game today and the COVID and everything? You think they're going to rebound from it and get back to normal?
It seems like it's all going forward right now, and everything's starting to pick up, and all the big races are not being canceled this year because of COVID. I know Canada's a little bit behind us with their vaccines and stuff, but they are doing a good job and doing the best they can to get everything back up and rolling like it should. And it seems to be coming around.
One of the things I noticed is there's a lot of big stables, you know, and it must be tough for, you know, a small stable to go up against, you know, like a Tony Alagna stable that's got 160 horses, you know, in training. And, you know, at all levels and everything. And you know, it's got to be tough to be, you know, butting heads with people like that all the time. And also, did you ever in your training program try to avoid the big outfits, or did you just, you know, go for it?
If I had something good enough, I thought they could go in there and do some good, I went right in there, wasn't afraid. I always felt good when I beat them, though. But I wasn't paying $150,000 or $200,000 for these horses. And, you know, my father did buy one for over $100,000 one time, just but he was a racehorse. And he did super for me. He was a good invitational horse. But,
that's what we wanted to our listeners, you know, to hear, you know, from the small, you know, stables and everything. You know, it's, you know, you see all these big trainers and the big horses. Very rarely do you see, you know, the small stables or hear about the small stables and, you know, how they get there, you know. And a stall is a stall, no matter how many horses you got. And that's what, you know, I was, you know, wanting to know is, you know, did you like the track over the farm or the farm over the track? You know, and what was your biggest hurdle to get through as a small stable?
Just mainly finding some really dedicated, good owners that really love the game, and they would buy you horses. And if you did well, they just buy you more. You know, sometimes you can get a little overloaded with some, and some needed to go somewhere else. You know, but. You had to stick it out, and then when everything started to click, you know, it just kept going forward, and it was great, you know. Just wanted to make more money, you know.
I hear that. Do you prefer the claiming game or the sales game when it comes to your horses? Would you drop one in, you know, to get it to another stable or you know, or would you sell it private? What was your preference on getting horses?
I was able to sell with good profit, just selling them outright to people. They would always come looking at me to see if that horse was for sale, because I would find that diamond in the rough every once in a while, and they would really show up and really do good. And I didn't have them long. They sold themselves real quick, you know, because that money doesn't go lame, you know. So I like to get them ready and sell them right away if I can. But I love racing.
Well, Mark,
you got a good one.
Are you thinking about Hamiltonian when you buy a horse, or are you just thinking about getting a win?
Oh, just something that can make a dime or two, yeah. And then if it turns out to a Hamiltonian horse, hopefully I have a stake for that. Yeah.
There you go. Marty, it's been great having you on the show today. We'll have you back again, you know, in the future. You know, we wanted to hear from, you know, the small stables, you know, opposed to the big stables, you know, that are buying million-dollar horses and getting, you know, and you know how that goes. Sometimes they don't run like that, you know. But
yeah.
We just want to see, you know, how difficult it was for you. And, you know, I know you're a dedicated horseman, and, you know, it's good to have people like you in the business you know, that we can talk to and visit with, you know. So I'll stay in touch with you, and, you know, we'll see what happens down the road. And I want to be the first to interview you when you get a Hamiltonian winner.
Oh, that'd be nice. But I like, when I watch all the big races, I'm always rooting for the little guy.
Always. You got that right, buddy. You got that right.
Yeah.
Marty, we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for being on the show today.
All right. Thank you for having me. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Talk anytime, you Marty. You're always welcome here. You know.
Okay.
Well, folks, we're getting down towards the end of our program here. Taking a look at a lot of things. On our next week's show, we're going to have some people that are involved in the Olympics coming up here in Japan. They're getting ready to go over for the Olympics, and we're going to speak with them and see what they're doing and how they're doing and how they're going to get there. You know, like I said, the industry is really getting back into the swing of things. We're at full capacity with what we're doing, you know, here in the horse business. And again, you know, we would like for you to call into the show. Let us know, you know, what kind of equestrian business you have, what you're doing in the business. You know, we're here to help promote you, and it's all free. It's all free because at this stage and point in our business, we need the most exposure that we can get, from the small person like myself at IEN to NBC and, you know, ESPN and all like that. It's all about the exposure. We want to develop programming that people can sit down and enjoy, and we want to let them know where they can go. You know, nowadays it costs a dime to do everything, you know, anywhere you go. But you don't realize that in the horse business, there's a lot of places you can go, be entertained with a horse show for an afternoon, or horse racing, or, you know, or the sales, or, you know, movies or whatever, and it's all free. All you got to do is show up, and that's what we're trying to do here. Go to IENTV.org. Pick out a spot on our website that you want to be, and I'll put you on it for free. You know, we'll interview you. We'll talk about what you're doing, where you're going. We'll help promote your business for free. That's what we're doing here. And so if you could do that, you know, we'd appreciate it. Let us know what kind of movies you want to see. Let us know everything about your business. Again, you know, it's all free. And we're here every Thursday on BBS Radio, Station 1 at 1 o'clock. You need to go to the website at bbsradio.com and see all the programming they have there. See, we're a tool of connection and distribution and everything. And if you get connected to bbsradio.com, there's all kinds of things on there. I mean, it amazes you what kind of programming they have, you know, and it's 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. So this is Scott Miller, the founder of International Equine Network, saying thanks for joining us this week, and be sure to contact us and let us know what equestrian event that you have coming up, and we'll be sure to get it out there. So until next week, we'll see you on International Equine Network.